This oral history about the African American community in Cocoa, Florida, with Laura Solomon Brown, was conducted by Tracy Moore and recorded by John White for the Florida Historical Society on Monday, June 27, 2022.
My name is Laura, L-A-U-R-A, Solomon, S-O-L-O-M-O-N, last name Brown without the E.
Okay, when you're ready.
Okay. Well, today we're just going to just talk about Cocoa and some of your memories and things of that sort. So kind of want to talk to you about, well, I definitely want to talk to you about the fact that you work with Florida Today.
Oh, okay.
Okay, because I kind of feel that because of what this project is all about, you know, your knowledge of what was going on during the early days of Cocoa is very important. So what do you remember about the early days of Cocoa?
Well, I was born in Cocoa, and my memory, well, I grew up on Magnolia Street, which is now Stone Street, at 708 Magnolia. My dad owned the property from 708 to 815. He had a business. He was a barber, ran a barber shop right next door. My mom ran a grocery store, and all the businesses down in that area were black owned. There was Mr. Pullen, he had a dry cleaner. Mr. J.C. Ager had a grocery store. There was Davis Restaurant. Mr. Howard Shank had a little garage there. And Miss Mary George had a beauty shop. And there were just so many people down there that owned everything. And one of my vivid memories is my dad losing almost everything to a fire. There were no fire hydrants in the black neighborhood. My dad had a two-story building that his barber shop was in. Lady lived upstairs, left the stove on, and everything burned. He had a two-bedroom house in back of the barber shop, two apartments upstairs. My uncle, who was in the Korean War, had a home next door. All of that burned. When the firemen came, they only had the water that was on the trucks. No fire hydrants. So everything burned to the ground. And my mother kept our home, which my son now lives in next door to me, wet with the water hose to keep it from burning. That was, I mean, it was devastating. I was 8 years old at the time, but I'm an only child, so I had everything any kid could want. So, you know, you lose things and you never regain it completely.
So how important is it to you that the history of what you just told us about is carried on in the community?
It's very important. If I didn't tell my kids, they wouldn't know. I moved to Rockledge in 1959, and that's a very sore subject. We owned everything on Magnolia Street. Some way or other, the government came in with a grant and built the Peter Young Housing Project. My dad and them fought it. But in the end, for four pieces of property and the houses, my dad got $11,000. So, which was just enough to buy the property where we are now. And they moved our houses on the rollers that you see sometime. We moved two houses to Rockledge. No city water, no street lights. No paved streets. We had sulfur water for about 2 years until the city ran the water there. So it's important for me to let my kids know we weren't always the way we are now. These guys were upstanding businessmen. Seven Seas Restaurant was over on 520. Miss Vessie Hawk and her two sisters ran that restaurant. And I mean, we had everything anybody could think of. But now we're almost like Oklahoma City. Remember that?
Yes.
Okay, so that's what my memory is about. I guess it's a sore spot with me because nobody seemed to care. So we were just, oh well, go ahead. We don't need you here. Because the man, whoever the mayor was at that time, my dad asked him, where are we going since we have to move? He said, have you ever heard of Washington Park in Orlando? So they didn't really want us in the area.
You managed to stay in this area and you've been here for quite a while now.
Mm-hmm.
What is it that you're doing now that will leave that legacy that you definitely want to be kept in this area?
Well, by nature, I'm a historian. I tell everybody about our heritage in the area. My mom was one of the original members of our church. They built our church in 1929 on Magnolia, now Stone Street, which is still there. So my mom left the history of the church, and I keep updating it. So my kids are very aware. And Mike Blake, Mayor Mike Blake, his grandparents' home was right next door to our church, where he has a small building now. So, you know, you want that to continue. You want people to know. I went to the center, which is now a center where Miss Dolores McLaughlin worked. I went to school there through ninth grade. My class was the second class to graduate from Monroe High School. Leon Collins was my classmate. His sister Shirley Rhines was my classmate. So, you know, there, Jolie Smith, Dick Blake, Mike is a youngster. He went to the new Cocoa High, which was Rockledge High was the original Cocoa High.
So you are vested
yes.
in making sure that the memories of Cocoa and that community right there where you grew up stays vibrant and people know about it.
Yes.
With this new museum, what are your hopes for the museum?
I'm hoping that the history will be preserved. The home that my grandparent built is still on Stone Street. It's up where Charlie's Package Store used to be. The home right next to that, my mother grew up there. So I think these things, the younger generation need to know about. Even with integration, I was the first black that they employed in the front office because Reverend Wells and Rudy Stone walked a picket line. So our kids need to know that it wasn't always easy. People didn't speak to me in that building.
And you're referring to what building?
The whites in the building. When I was employed, my boss said to me, called to me in after a couple of weeks, and he said, how's it going? I said, fine. I said, I have peace and quiet for lunch, because when I go in the cafeteria, everybody leaves. I said, and your walls are much cleaner now since I've been here. He said, what do you mean? I said, people would rather scrub against the walls than to get close to me. So I was employed there in 68. So that was not too far into integration.
And you're referring to Florida Today?
Florida Today, yes.
Okay. So through Florida Today, I'm sure you was aware of things that were going on in the community and people who were, quote, the leaders of the community as
mm-hmm.
they were being interviewed by Florida Today. Do you recall any of those times when you saw the message of what was going on in the black community being carried on through articles or other things that were going on?
A few. Reverend Wells was always front page. Rudy Stone was front page. And there was an older lady named Miss Melissa Moore that lived in the area of St. Paul. She was interviewed a few times. There was Mr. Jimmy Stark and Miss Houston. They ran a restaurant. So occasionally, we would get some coverage, you know, like church anniversaries and all. But mainly, it was the bad news in the black neighborhood that was covered by the newspaper.
I understand that you have had experiences in childhood with Leon as well as Jewel.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me about your memories of them growing
Leon
up.
Was a class clown. Always nice. In other words, he grew up between Magnolia Street and 520 in a house right behind Mrs. Hawk that ran the Seven Threes. There was a big family of them. His brothers, Harold and Carol, delivered milk to my father's store. So I've known them all their lives. Their older sister moved to Daytona. And Leon never got in real trouble. He was just a clown. But he played football. And I didn't know Jewel until he started to date her. I think she moved from Georgia. So that's when I became acquainted with Jewel.
Now, Leon went on to become the first black city council person.
Right.
How did the community respond to that?
Oh, they were happy. Everybody was so happy to finally see one of us on the council. And, you know, they applauded. Of course, I couldn't vote for them. I lived in Rockledge. I moved to Rockledge, like I say, in 59. But everybody was very pleased.
And from his service as a council person, do you feel that what he did and represent during that time period made a difference?
Oh, yes. He represented well, and he didn't mind speaking up. He would speak up. He got in trouble a lot by speaking up, but he did speak up.
Is there anything else that you feel is most important that you say to us today to kind of get us to know the importance of why you thought it was important for you to talk to us today?
Well, I'm disturbed with participation from the blacks. We don't show up at anything until it directly concerns us. Then we show up in full force. Even with voting, I really don't think that we show up like we should. But we just need to be concerned. Even with Rosemary Moore, you know, she started in that community. Yes. She lived off of Pineapple. She grew up right there. And people don't even seem to support her the way they should. But Leon Collins was very instrumental. And, you know, we always make comments about how we got there or what we did. Kissed up. I figure if we had to kiss up to get where we are, we needed to do it to get where we need to be.
What would your message be to the next generation of folks who are now in the community? What would your message be to them to make sure that they continue this legacy?
They need to wake up in the first place. Very complacent, this generation. They don't seem to realize it's important to try to rebuild the legacy of our community. A lot of them figure if they move to the affluent neighborhoods, they've made it. But they haven't really. You know, they just need to be more concerned. Well, my son works with the PAL program, and you see kids that don't get a decent breakfast unless someone give it to them. They just need to be concerned about their children. I've always taught my children. I carried my children places. And this generation will drop them off at a babysitter, nursery school, or whatever. Just come back and pick them up later. So they need to wake up and be concerned about their children. They're not concerned until their children get a basketball or football scholarship, and then they come out of the woodwork. Well, that's not nice, but it's true. But they just need to wake up.
Okay. I was trying to think, is there anything else I need to ask you? Because you're a wealth of information here for me. I don't want to lose this opportunity to ask you questions in regards to what the community has done and how you feel the community needs to move forward. But one of the, I guess the last question I wanted to ask more than anything is, as this museum develops, how do you see it needs to be? You know, I know it needs to talk about the history mm-hmm. here in Cocoa,
mm-hmm.
but it is an African American museum.
Mm-hmm.
It is in the Diamond Square quote community.
Mm-hmm.
How do you see this museum making an impact? Whether it's tourism, how do you see this museum making an impact on others who come to Cocoa to learn about Cocoa or learn about our African American history?
Well, I like to refer to the Harry and Harriet Moore Museum in Titusville. I think we need to kind of pattern it after that with information about our area. Gather photos and the background information about the forefathers. You never hear anything about Mr. Morse, B.A. Morse. He was our first principal at Monroe High School. We had people that were in the military, the Shepherd, can't think of his first name now, but Roger Shepherd. He had medals from the military, and we have other people that have made it, and I think they need to be featured in the museum.
As a journalist myself, I find it very interesting that you were first of the blacks who were mm-hmm. Working in that field in journalism.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me about that position that you held. How did you start, and how did you eventually became a librarian there?
Okay, now the way I originally started, I started in classified advertising. And back in those days, we dealt with hot type. They had to go through and pull out manually the news from the day before they could publish the next day's paper. So I was not happy with being what they call a kill paper clerk, and that was to pull out all those ads that were expiring. So I would wander about, and I made friends in the editorial department, because really that was really what interested me. And under Barney Waters, who was over the editorial department at the time, he said to me, "Are you interested in taking classes?" So I've traveled. First classes I took were in Toronto, Canada. Then at the company headquarters in Rochester, New York. And from there I went to Pennsylvania, and at the Pensacola News Journal, I went through all of the classes to learn the process of being a news librarian, because these people were already established. So that was how I got into it. And of course, you know, you never stop learning.
Right. And so your final title there at Today newspaper?
My final title at Florida Today was News Librarian.
Laura Solomon Brown had an additional comment about Monroe High School.
We thought we had a beautiful home economics department. We had one sewing machine, one refrigerator, and one electric stove. So we thought we had really made it. And they gave us a tour over at Coco High School. And we just felt real bad. They had maybe 10 sewing machines, completely furnished kitchen. And that's when we realized, you know, what a difference it made.
It was separate, but not equal at all.
But it kind of bust our bubble. And one of our original home ec teachers still lives on Factory Street, Mrs. Sims, Dorothy Sims. Her husband was a coach, Reese J. Sims. So I think she's over 100 now, close to 100 if she's not. But she's still there. You know where Pearl Smith office used to be? My son-in-law, Dexter Martin, brother, owned the house there, right behind there. And then Mrs. Sims is next to that. So it's some originals still around.
Still some originals around. Mm-hmm. That's good to know. Hopefully we can be able to interview some of the originals as well. We really appreciate you sharing with us today.
This oral history about the African American community in Coco, Florida, with Laura Solomon Brown, was conducted by Tracy Moore and recorded by John White for the Florida Historical Society on Monday, June 27th, 2022.